flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, DGS on a Friday. Normal Friday stuff coming your way here in a little bit. Obviously, Dave is out. We'll be back on Monday. The rest of us are here. We have Bernie Miklas joining us in 1 hour. We have Dave Murray joining us at 3:30, as always, to give us a look at what's going to be happening weather-wise for the weekend. We'll have our headlines as usual. I know we got some fast food news for later on as well. So plenty going on, including having our buddy Brad Young on the show. Of course, Brad is a KMOX legal and political analyst. Obviously, always fun to talk to you, Brad. How you doing?
Kevin, doing great, sir. Thanks.
So we're going to have Sean Malone pop in. I didn't mention this, but he's going to pop in after our next break, so probably about 3:20 or so, to talk about the Board of Aldermen meeting today. He was there. He was given play-by-play on it on Twitter, and essentially what we had were two bills that were coming up for debate, and because of the way things were going today, the president of the Board of Aldermen, Megan Green, basically just pounded the gavel and said, we're done, and shut this down until next Tuesday. And, you know, we don't have to get into the nuts and bolts of that, Brad. I mean, we'll do that with Sean when he comes in here in a couple of minutes to talk about what that means and the procedures and all that, but I think the bigger, more interesting thing here is just that this has been this process of putting this money to work has taken so long and it's been so difficult. It's I don't know, it's just par for the course, I guess, the way the city has gone.
It really is, Kevin. And I identified, as soon as the Rams settlement happened, I identified two things that have to happen. First of all, I identified that this is transformational money. This isn't money that you give for housing assistance. Not that that's wrong. This isn't money that you give to individuals. Not that that's wrong, but that's not transformational. When you give money to individuals, housing assistance or living assistance, that money is consumed and it's gone and it's not transformational. So the city needs to do something that is transformational with this money. Secondly, once it became announced that a group of downtown businesses were going to match money up to $100 million for all money that the city from this settlement puts in to revitalizing downtown, then it's as easy. That's easy. That's extra money. So now you have you've increased that $277 million to potentially $377 million if a lot of that money is invested downtown. It's like a 401k plan, which your employer matches.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. It's exactly
the same thing. So when your employer says, I'll match you for every dollar you put in, and you don't put in any money in your 401k, but you could have put in $5,000, then really you've lost $10,000 because your employer is not putting it in. So coming back to this issue, the city has to, and we've seen some decent bills. They went up to $70 million. I would have rather seen it as $100 million, because when you do it at $70 million for downtown revitalization, you're essentially now leaving $60 million on the table. an extra 30 from the city, and an extra 30 from downtown businesses. And this is the kind of money that could transform downtown St. Louis. You know, there was a Business Journal article just earlier this week, Kevin, that said more and more businesses are fleeing downtown. And when that happens, the tax base erodes. It looks more like a deserted city than a vibrant city, and that impacts us in every way imaginable. So, yes, I'm hoping the city finds a way to put as much money possible into downtown St. Louis. Those other things of individuals or housing assistance or living assistance, take that out of your normal city budget. But those things are not transformational. Changing downtown is.
Brad, do you know the deadline on this money? I had thought I had heard that we were supposed to have it allocated by the end of last year, but here we are headed into February.
No, I don't recall that there was any deadline on this,
okay,
Rachel.
Okay.
But from a bureaucrat's perspective, I thought this was funny. Some of this money, when it was initially invested, don't forget, this was like a year and a half ago, they stuck it in a passbook savings account, and it was getting like 0.4% interest. And if they had just put it in a money market account or bought CDs, it would have generated an extra tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest money. But bureaucrats don't know how to handle money. And so that money also was squandered. And we're the losers for this.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the benefit of, because you would think like there would be some thought behind putting it in a passbook account, as you say, but you're saying it was just straight up mishandled.
It was completely mishandled. And once someone brought it to the city's attention, then they were like, oh, okay. And then they put it into an actual money market account, which more than quadrupled the amount of interest that they were getting. And that should have been done on day one. But listen, my initial idea, I talked about this a lot on KMOX, I wanted to invest all $277 million into revolving CDs, which would generate between $15 and $20 million a year in interest money. And then every year the city could designate, okay, this year we're going to do housing assistance. Next year we're going to do fixing the water supply or the water pipes or the gas line pipes or whatever it is. You could then pick what you want to do with it year in and out, and that money would go into infinity. But again, that's not what bureaucrats like to do.
It's fascinating. And, you know, I think I was thinking about this earlier, Brad, and part of it was because every day I drive into St. Louis, I either come in from the 40 exit at 14th Street or I come down Tucker from 70, because I can go either way. And usually I'll just pick the least trafficked area on my way into work. But either way, I'm nonstop just hitting potholes and doing damage to my car, and damage that eventually I'm going to pay for, right? I mean,
right.
It's going to shorten the lifespan of all different things on my car, and that's happening to everyone. That's happening to everyone that drives to come down to work to downtown. And the way I put it on our show sheet was, if I just had a normal job, if I just had a normal office job, I would quit and move to a job somewhere else in the area that wasn't downtown. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth the drive. And again, I have a fun, unique job that I love, and I'm not leaving because of this stuff. You know, I mean, this is a place that's just unbelievable. But if I had just a normal office job, if I was a lawyer, if I was an accountant, if I was doing a regular job that I could find almost the exact same job somewhere else, I would do it in a heartbeat if I had to come downtown because of these things. And as you point out, that's the engine that fuels not just the city, but the region. And we need to fix the engine.
Well, and it's not just the region. I mean, if you look at the state of Missouri, the St. Louis metropolitan area is still the number one economic center in the entire state of Missouri. So even though we always talk about it as a region, Kevin, it's truly a statewide issue. And unfortunately, a lot of the folks in the rest of Missouri don't want to spend any money in St. Louis or help St. Louis. And that is so short-sighted.
Yeah.
Because as the city goes, so goes the region. As the region goes, so goes Missouri.
You know, I understand the hard part, right? I mean, like, the hard part is you kind of referenced when you were talking about this. The hard part is, yes, we want to help people, right? You want to help human beings.
Of course.
But you want to help in a sustainable way. And if the money's gone, it's spent, it's gone. It's not the same thing as investing. And investing, I don't mean in the bank. I mean investing in infrastructure, in things that will draw people downtown. And also keep people that are there. Keep jobs, keep employers, keep businesses, keep residents living in the downtown area. Because, again, that's where you're going to have your best chance at fueling long-term growth, which can then also do all of those things you want to do for human beings.
Right. And, you know, when my oldest daughter was six, she went to a birthday party at a bowling alley. And I gave her $10 and I said, "Catherine, this is for your lunch. Don't buy anything stupid." I came back 2 hours later. She came out. She hadn't eaten, but she was wearing these Billy Bob teeth, you know, where it looks like you're missing teeth and then you've got some buck teeth. And I said, "Catherine, didn't I tell you not to buy anything stupid?" And she said, "But Dad, Billy Bob teeth aren't stupid."
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think of that because this is transformational money here. And I don't want to see it squandered, not on stuff that's necessarily stupid, but on stuff that doesn't transform. And that's what we need to be focused on. But unfortunately, the Board of Aldermen lacks that kind of vision to help transform the city into what it could be instead of wallowing in what it currently is.
All right, Brad, real quick, anything else we should have our eye on? Anything that's caught your attention this week?
Yeah, very quickly, a three-judge panel down in New Orleans in the Fifth Circuit ruled, and this is not a shock, but several states had laws that banned the buying of handguns by 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and 20-year-olds. And listen, the court ruled, because now the Supreme Court says the right to bear arms is truly a right, that you cannot restrict gun sales to 18 to 20-year-olds because in every way they are adults and an adult can have a firearm. So I don't see anything happening with that. That ruling will stand.
That seems just incredibly logical, regardless of where you stand on the issue of guns in general. Like if adults have the right, when you're an adult, you have the right.
Exactly. So it's not a stretch, but that decision wouldn't have happened in the absence of some pro-Second Amendment Supreme Court decisions that came down the pike, you know, for the past 10 years or so.
Interesting.
And they're just following in those footsteps.
Brad, you're the best. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
That's 3 I votes, 10 no votes, and 2 voted present.
By your vote, you sustain the motion from the alderman from the second. And at this time, I'm going to put us in recess until Tuesday. Till Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Point of order.
42. Point of order.
Well, that was the Board of Aldermen meeting earlier today, and Megan Green shutting it down. It didn't sound like anybody else was ready to shut it down, but instead of describing all of this through Sean Malone's tweets or the various stories or listening just to it on our short newscast at the top and bottom of the hour, we thought we'd bring Sean in studio to kind of lay it out. I was following you on Twitter during the meeting, and you're on the last tweet, it was like, shocker. And then it was, you know, the description of Megan Green shutting it down, and you hear the audio there. Was it like that surprising to everybody else in the room?
Yes. Everyone was caught off guard by this decision to just end the meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard it there. A couple of the alders still had their mics on at one point.
Yeah, they're like,
you know, shouting in the background, what? What's going on? you know, there's another video that KSDK captured that shows, and I heard her say this as well, as she was walking out, President Green said, "You want to play games? We'll play games." And you know, Alderman Vollmer shouted back, "It's not games, it's politics." So what was happening at that point that finally became the reason to shut it down, they were finally about to get into the real debate part of the day, of the Rams settlement bills. Bills, plural, I'll get to that in a second. And there was Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer was trying to introduce a substitute to one of those bills because from her vote counting, there were not enough votes to pass either of the two bills that were going to be debated on the floor. What she wanted to do was introduce a substitute that says, "Hey, we're all in agreement on $40 million for the water division. Let's do that. Let's put $40 million towards the water division. Take a break and figure all of this else out after recess." She didn't get the chance to do that. She was trying to speak at that point. Green passed on her for Alderman Aldridge. There was a procedural vote to overrule President Green, and that's when she decided to shut the meeting down at that point. She said afterwards that, you know, the meeting was delving into chaos and she had to gavel people down at various points, which she did earlier in the meeting. You know, people are having side conversations on the floor, not off to the side. So she, you know, gaveled and asked them to continue their conversations elsewhere so she could hear the aldermen as they were speaking. But that maneuver to shut the meeting down before the debate really got going caught everybody off guard. Now, back to what I said before with bills, plural.
Right, because there was one that was a compromise, and then there was the old bill.
Yes, so there was the compromise bill that was brought to the floor. And before that could really get going, there was a motion put on the floor to pull the other bill that was part of the compromise but wasn't the one amended to become the compromise bill out of committee, essentially the full board of aldermen just passing it out of committee and pulling it out and putting it on the floor with it. The reason for that, the sponsor of that bill, Alderwoman Pam Boyd, was not happy that the compromise bill got amended. There were 10 amendments. I believe most, if not all of them, came from Aldermanic President Megan Green, changing how some of the money was divided up. It took about $16 million away from down, or $14 million, excuse me, away from downtown St. Louis.
Reallocated it
to other things. And so Alderwoman Boyd said at that point, in her eyes, the compromise is dead. The compromise bill was amended, and that is no longer the compromise she agreed to. And overwhelmingly, the board voted 11-4 to bring that bill onto the floor with the compromise.
Just for debate, right?
Just to debate it, yeah. And it was a leverage move. You know, a lot of the aldermen, I don't think that they're voting to put that piece of legislation through, but I think they wanted to send a message of, hey, we're serious. We don't like these amendments that came out of committee. Yes, they were passed by committee, but now it's in front of the full board of aldermen. We like this bill better than that. And, you know, they'd be willing to kill the compromise bill as amended. So we were getting ready to debate two RAM settlement bills.
Right.
It was going to get a little hairy.
So it was going to get crazy anyway.
Yes. But we never got into that.
So in your opportunities to talk to some of the folks there after the fact, what are the most important things you learned? And do you think that they will sort all of this out and have an organized play for Tuesday?
We'll see. And, you know, I was talking afterwards with someone. It's interesting that maneuver, you know, putting it into recess, all you need is one person to second it, and it's into recess. That puts a lot of power in the hands of Aldermanic President Megan Green. If she comes back on Tuesday, and let's say there's still a lack of support for her amendments, you know, not that she would, she hasn't said that she would, but she has the power to just, again, kick the can down the road and, you know, gavel in and say, we're going to go back into recess. We'll be back at 10 o'clock on Thursday.
So one of the amendments, from what I understand, just from what I've read, is the allocation of funds towards child care for city workers. That's something Megan Green wants that maybe other people aren't agreeing on, correct?
Yes. So she pulled $4 million out from money intended to go towards revitalizing downtown and put it towards that pot already had $30 million in it. The amended version as it currently stands now is up to 34 for that pot. But that is a problem that a lot of the Board of Aldermen have, and where I really thought this bill was in jeopardy heading into today before knowing Boyd's position was that a lot of the alders expressed skepticism because of what's happening at the federal government. The way that $30 million, now $34 million, is designed to work is the city is going to use the interest that money accrues as a local match for state and federal grants. Well, federal grants are in kind of limbo right now.
Right now they are, yeah.
You know, a temporary restraining order is keeping them going, but for how long? And even if they do keep going, you know, at some point Congress is going to have to pass a spending bill, and will any of those grants that the city could potentially have their eye on, will they make it through a Republican House and a Republican Senate to President Trump's desk, where he would, you know, if all that's cut, he would sign it, is what the consensus seems to be. So a lot of people are looking at some of the items like that, early childhood education, subsidizing secondary education, and saying, is this something that's still reasonable to pull off at this point? Or are we going to set this $30 million aside that could be used for something else and then kind of look at ourselves like, well, we might have to wait a couple of years before we can actually do anything with this money as we hope to.
Well, great stuff. We appreciate the info, and we'll look forward to hearing back from you on Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. The fireworks continue.
That's DGS on a Friday. The day.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave is out. Well, one Dave is out. The other Dave is going to join us here in a second. Dave Murray is with us. The rest of us are here. DG, Dave Glover, will be back on Monday. And obviously the whole gang will be there on Monday as well. Hello, Dave Murray.
Hello there.
How you doing?
I made it. I made it in time.
Good times. Glad you did. Yay. Glad you did. We always like, we love the live looks, but we love the live better.
Yes.
Oh, I know. I know. I just wasn't sure. I had some laser surgery on my eyes just about an hour ago.
Oh.
So I'm sitting here in old man cataract glasses.
Oh, and, no.
Enjoying the time.
So you can see then, right? Like you're not.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this was.
What a dumb question.
I had cataract surgery about 2 years ago.
Right.
It surprised me it was 2 years. And this was, they go in and they clean up. I was just having some little problems. And so they dilate your eyes, and then they numb your eyes, and then they put some other drop in there. And then he sits you in front of this little apparatus, and he floats around your eye and zaps them with little laser beams.
Huh.
It's really weird. It's just, it doesn't hurt. You don't feel anything. It's
right.
Just weird.
I was going to say, is it an odd thing? First of all, how do they numb? I've never done this. So just to be clear, I don't wear contacts. I don't have glasses. I've never had to do any of those things so far. Uh-huh. I will eventually, I'm sure.
Sure.
But I don't know what it's like to have your eyes numbed.
It's, in this, with the cataract surgery, it's a whole different thing. I mean, they put like a ton of stuff in your eyes to numb your eyes.
Okay.
Because that's a little harder thing.
Right, right.
But, they're going in and peeling the cataracts off and then putting a lens in on top of a clean eye. This is the initial eye drops were to dilate and you just kind of hang there and wait for 20 minutes. And then they put a couple of numbing drops in. And it doesn't really.
So it just drops, though.
I didn't notice anything. And then some other, I think it's kind of an antibiotic type drop.
Okay.
And then he says, okay, put your chin right here, put your forehead here, and we're going to town.
Interesting. Well, I got that to look forward to, I'm sure. Last time I was in, in fact, I think I'm due for my next annual with Ophthalmology Associates. Because we did the drops and stuff, but I didn't have to get dilated because I just didn't need to, I guess, because I'm not in
sometimes
that position.
You don't. You just don't. But do your yearly checkup.
Does it feel like being surprised when your eyes are dilated? Like you had to
No. But when I brought the glasses with me, so I knew when I walked outside, I knew it was going to happen. And I just took my glasses off for a second just to see what it would be like. And it's like, oh, okay, put those back on.
bright light. Can't see. Somebody turn off the spotlight.
That's right.
All right. Well, we love having you live. Tell us what we're looking forward to.
Yeah, we have a good way. It's a dry weekend, but tomorrow is going to be chilly. Clouds that are with us right now will kind of clear out, at least go partly cloudy overnight. Tomorrow's partly sunny. I'm going to call it a chilly day, even though I like 53 for the high. I think a lot of the day will be in the 40s. It'll be a little breezy, so it's not a go outside in your shorts kind of weather. Some clouds around Saturday night, 43. Sunday still looks good. Partly sunny skies, beautiful afternoon, 64 degrees. Warmest part will be 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Warmest we've seen since December 16th. All is quiet on Monday, partly sunny, about 59. Next shot of rain will be Wednesday night and into Thursday, especially Wednesday night and into Thursday. It looks all rain. And, of course, Sunday is Groundhog Day, also midpoint of winter. So winter's half over on Sunday.
Actually, I like that.
Me too.
All downhill after that.
Yeah, in a way, you can look at it that way. Yeah,
so it's half full. Very clear to me in listening to this, right? We're now officially into spring.
Yeah, that's the way you look at it.
Made the call.
Wait, it's going to be in the 60s now. So no, we're done, right? We're done.
Dave Murray says no more snow.
Where you heard this and how you heard it.
I know. It's going to get bad again.
That's the nature of the beast.
But this weekend will give me. I'm already like itchy for baseball season and for spring training, and Sunday, Monday is going to make it even worse. Sunday Monday's going to be it's time. Let's go.
But it does give you hope. That's the great thing. I mean, this stretch that we've had in January is a little unusual for St. Louis. Even though we were fairly mild for a couple of days in the middle of the month, most of the month people would say, okay, that wasn't a very pretty month to go through, mainly because of that sleet and snowstorm we had. But, you know, you take that away, and I think most people would say, January wasn't too bad. But that made it bad.
I think today was the first day there was no snow in my yard.
There you go.
So it's gone. At least in the back. A little bit on the front toward the curb because they're all the big piles.
Sure.
But that's down to just, maybe a few inches now. All right, Rach, want to do some headlines?
Absolutely. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. I'm so glad Dave Murray is with us for this segment because I wanted to talk about the super crescent moon in Venus putting on a show tomorrow.
Oh, now the crescent moon has to be super too, right?
They're all super. Everybody's super.
Everybody is super.
Everybody gets a participation trophy.
But on Saturday, February 1st, a stunning Venus crescent moon conjunction will be visible in the Americas, offering a captivating celestial display.
And that's always spectacular. If you think it's rare, it's not. It happens every year.
Yeah, I seem to remember like a couple years ago seeing an article about like the moon and Venus are going to kiss in the sky on Valentine's Day. I know. I thought it was pretty sweet.
Cute.
It's happening again this year.
Yeah, Venus. Try to go out and see it. If you haven't noticed, which means you're kind of like Glover, not being able to find the moon, you can absolutely see Venus. It's like a beacon in the sky.
Yes.
You can't miss it.
I see it. I was like looking up, like, look at that. It's a big orange thing.
But where is
Mars.
Though?
Where is the moon? All right.
Yeah.
About half of Americans approve of using weight loss drugs to treat obesity, according to a new poll. There is less support for teens with obesity using these medications, however, and Americans are divided on the use of weight loss drugs for teens, with about one third viewing it positively, a similar share negatively, and about 3 in 10 expressing neutrality. I would like some more research on the weight loss drugs before we start giving them to teens, like the long-term effects.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also think it's more effective, or not more effective, it's maybe more efficient to focus on the people that are much closer to these things becoming major problems.
Right, that's true.
Right? I mean, if you're heavy when you're 18, you've got some time and you can do some things to fix that in the short term, but for people that are older, you don't have as much time, and you also don't have the metabolism of an 18-year-old to have that bit of an advantage. Mm-hmm. Not saying we don't want to help, just saying maybe a little more research, and maybe the people that are a little bit have a little less time to deal with.
The FDA just made a huge move in the world of painkillers. They've just approved a new medication designed to eliminate addiction risk. It's called Journavx. And it's for short-term pain that also often follows surgery or injuries. It's the first new pharmaceutical approach to treating pain in more than 20 years, and it offers an alternative to both opioids and over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen and the other one. I'm not going to try to. I'm stumbling over my words right now, you guys.
It's okay.
You all know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got the deal.
Wheels, have you heard about this absolute loser, Bryce Mitchell?
Yeah. Do you know this, Dave? MMA? Do you follow MMA at all?
No.
This is not really an MMA story, but this guy, Bryce Mitchell, praised Hitler, says he was a good guy. He'd like to have a beer with him and a bunch of other he's down that rabbit hole. And MMA is not having it. Like Dana White trashed him. He's obviously the guy that runs MMA.
He said he felt beyond disgust, but he's not taking any action.
Not yet.
Him. Okay. So you think it's coming in the future?
Well, I saw the transcripts of the things that he said. And, I mean, he cursed the guy out, called him every name in the book, what an idiot he is, explained why, none of this stuff is even sensible. You can't, but he's also one of these guys, Dana White is. It's like, free speech.
Right.
So he feels that at least at the moment he's countering the stupidity with basically calling him out and telling the world what an idiot this guy is. But I can tell you this, no other sports league on the planet would be that way. You said that in the NFL.
You're done.
You're going away for at least a period of time.
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing for every other sports league. I think Dana White, because free speech is not about protecting that fighter from the league that he's employed by. It's about the government not being able to say you can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the difference.
You say something bad about your employer. Well, you're giving the employer really one option.
Yeah. Did you
Is
see
that
Dave?
Free speech, right? Mm-hmm.
Did you see Dave there? And I'm forgetting her name off the top of my head, but there was a woman I don't believe categorized as a meteorologist, but she does weather on a local TV station or did. She got fired for some terrible things, some negative things, but a very aggressively negative things that she posted on social media about Elon Musk.
Oh, interesting.
But I mean, like, she was cursing in these posts and things like that, using the F-bomb and things like that. And right. She got fired, and people were kind of upset, like, oh, are you firing her because she said something bad about Elon and you're afraid of Elon? And my reaction is, no, this is local TV, and I figure nobody would know better than you, Dave, all your years in local TV, how big of a deal it is to be friendly, to be somebody that people want to see on the TV and not be offending people like that with bad language, with whatever.
Yeah, I think the first thing, luckily, did I have to deal a lot with social media? No, and still don't. But you know, you have a responsibility to yourself and to your employer to represent yourself well. And if you're, and the other question is, did she do it in conjunction with the website of the television station?
She did not. It was personal. Okay, so it was on Instagram. It might have been Instagram and on Twitter, but it was definitely Instagram.
I think you have to sit back before you start to write stuff and say, is my employer going to be happy with this?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to see it. They're absolutely going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe take a deep breath and say, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that, instead of just sitting down, banging it out and hit send, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I can tell you that if I posted something like she did on Twitter using the language that was used, I'd be in trouble, and right. it might get me fired. And again, it's partly because you want people to like you and not mm-hmm. think terribly of you, right?
Right. You know,
viewers and listeners,
of,
I mean.
Case of radio and television, they invite you into their car, into their home,
mm-hmm.
into their family room, into their kitchen, into their bedroom. You know, they watch you because they feel comfortable and safe watching you.
Dave, you're the best. Thank you. Have a great weekend, bud.
You too.
All right, buckle up. We're going from headlines to the stuff we really care about.
Fast food news. And hopefully I can read and talk during this segment. I'm struggling today.
We'll
it is the most Friday.
Yeah.
We will see. That's not very supportive.
Yeah, just like, good luck, lady.
Wingstop is introducing a new sweet chili glaze flavor, and they rate this new flavor with 3 flames out of 5 on its heat scale.
All right. I'm a big Wingstop fan.
Wingstop rocks.
I like Wingstop too, but I feel like I almost like get sick every time I eat it because I eat so much.
Eat too much.
I'm like, yum. Their ranch is really good.
Dude,
their fries are really good.
Fries are amazing. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I love the Cajun, the dry Cajun rub that they have.
Yeah.
And I like is it Hawaiians? Are they call it Hawaiian?
I don't know. I've never had that.
Yeah, they got a Hawaiian sauce.
A Polynesian.
Yeah. But Polynesian was what they call the Chick-fil-A one.
Yeah.
It's not called that, but it's like that.
I'm very excited for this. Heart-shaped biscuits are back at Hardee's for Valentine's Day. I was telling Wheels on the break, I am just a complete sucker for anything heart-shaped at Valentine's Day. I'm like, give me the pizza, give me the biscuit. It's going to taste better because it's in the shape of a heart and it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they will be available through February 16th. At participating locations, and that starts tomorrow. I think I'm going to go get some tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a smart plan. Go see our friends at Hardee's. Subway is introducing a new Oreo footlong cookie. Featuring the brand.
Wait, a footlong cookie?
You haven't heard of it?
I saw them.
Like a cookie that's a footlong.
Yeah, but it looks like a loaf of bread. Like, it's like the size of their loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Sure,
It's a foot long. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's not. See, I'm picturing a cookie, like a circle, like a big cookie cake.
Oh,
like a foot long. That's huge.
And Popeyes is launching a limited time $10 deal for 12 wings or tenders, but you have to do it through their app or website. This goes until February 9th of this year. You can also snag a 12-piece order of boneless or bone-in or 12 fried chicken tenders in either classic, spicy, or blackened varieties when ordered through the app or online at Popeyes.com. Just beware, the offer is limited to one redemption per order, and the prices are higher when you have them delivered. So,
Pop quiz.
What's up?
This answer sticks with you for life.
Okay.
Bone-in or boneless?
Bone-in.
Boneless.
Boneless.
Wow.
I just want some.
A lot less work, man. Nothing.
I just want some chicken nuggets.
I don't have to eat around anything. Just pop them in and go.
Sometimes you get a boneless wing, though, and you're like, what am I eating here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's mush.
Yeah, it's not a wing. It's mush. It's not a wing. Well, no, I mean, they're just nuggets. That's what they are. I mean, like, they're chunks.
But I know what Rachel means. Sometimes there's like a fatty one, and it's just like
what's going on?
It's just like mush.
I don't call them chicken fingers anymore because our friend Trish Gazelle was just so like grossed out. Like, why would you call it a chicken finger when you call it a tender or a strip? And I was like, you know what? I never thought of it before, but great point.
Yeah, the whole boneless wing thing is a really bizarre marketing ploy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because people, if you told, I guess it's like they probably did their research. And if you told grown men that they can order chicken nuggets, they're not going to order chicken nuggets. Right. But boneless wings? Yeah, it's a guy. I'll take those.
Speaking of heart-shaped things, a heart-shaped pizza is returning to Pizza Hut for Valentine's Day from February 11th through February 17th. You can get one at a suggested starting price of $11.99. I want one. I want it because it's shaped like a heart.
There you go. So you fall for those. You're the sucker for those.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Everything, like even at the store, like the
Like Target has a Valentine's trail mix right now, and I've gone into the store and looked for it, and I can't find it, and I'm like stressed.
Is everything heart shaped?
They just have like pink.
Or is it just pink stuff?
Yeah, just pink stuff
and red
I like,
and stuff.
So I just want some. And one final fast food news story for you. Jimmy John's is launching a new red velvet cookie sandwich also for Valentine's Day. Mm. Prices vary, but the new dessert costs $3.39 at many places. So that's about the ballpark price you can expect on
Pop quiz. Red velvet, yes or no?
No.
Absolutely.
Nope. No.
Not a fan.
Why?
Because it tastes bad.
It
doesn't taste anything, does it?
Because it tastes bad.
I mean, it tastes like a cake.
Yeah, it tastes like delicious red velvet cake.
It's just like
cake.
Red yum, dye in a chocolate cake.
Somewhere, somehow, somebody must have kicked you around some.